16. Okay, the ones that were here last week, remember that I said the world revolves around me, so I'm glad you're back here. Okay, Matthew 16:24. Okay, we'll go ahead and read verse 24 and following. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, then he shall reward every man according to his works. That's the ones up in verse 24 who deny themselves. And verse 28, Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man come in his kingdom. Okay, and that was John the Apostle. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this idea and help us to learn to be people that live outside ourselves and help us recognize that the world doesn't revolve around each of us individually. And I pray that you'd help us that when we recognize that if we live for ourselves, we can only live for one person, live and die for one individual. And 99.999% of the world will never know that person existed. And Lord, if we live for others, then that number can be increased, added, or multiplied depending upon your desires. And I pray you'd help us to recognize this voluntary act that we can choose. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, last week I went through this passage and mentioned that it is a pre-crucifixion passage, and so a person does have to kind of consider the doctrine of it. It's not a salvation passage. It's a matter of service or life, either prior to the crucifixion or after, now, where there are some universal truths that goes either side. There are some that stay on one side. Okay, the Apostle Peter is a person that the Lord dealt with this issue after Peter rebuked Jesus about suffering. Okay, and that's what goes contrary to human nature and modern Christianity. Okay, the idea of dying to yourself occurs in a two-part fashion. One is involuntary, meaning that God vertical with us, he has a will that he allows certain things in our lives. And that would be our cross, where he doesn't say, get on the cross. He says, take it up. Okay, and so that would be something that happened in your life that you caught you off guard. You wasn't expecting it. Something that God allowed in your life. And it's a matter of accept that God has allowed this in your life and now deal with it. Or accept it and thank God for it. Okay, and then man, we usually think horizontal. So here's our free will, and then here's the will of God. And so when we cross in that middle part where God's will went contrary to our will, when we accept God's will, then we've taken up our cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, Not my will, but thine be done. So there's the cross, where the Father's will was this way, and the Son, the man Christ Jesus' will was going this way just briefly, but then you'll watch his prayer shift where he said, Thy will be done. Okay, and that was an involuntary, it's dealing with the sovereignty of God. Okay, but our Calvinist friends, they don't want to deal with the sovereignty of man. Okay, the Arminians want to deal with the sovereignty of man, the Calvinists want to deal with the sovereignty of God, and they never want to cross over. No, I have a sovereignty in my will that I could exercise my will against the sovereignty of God, his free will. Okay, but in this idea of the cross, is maybe it's a financial catastrophe that happened in your life, maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's an unwanted or unexpected divorce, something like that. Okay, that's a cross that God allows in our lives as far as suffering goes. And, of course, the Lord has a reason for it. And sometimes we figured it out. Sometimes we think, okay, God, I got the lesson. I got to figure it out. Can we get this over with? And the Lord says, no, you still need to take the final exam. And so that's how it goes. And a lot of people will run to Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. But remember, within that context, that's at the judgment seat. We don't want to give people false hope. It's all going to work out. It might not. Okay, it just might not. Okay, and that's a cross that a person must learn to accept. Now, there's a voluntary aspect, and that's where I'm heading this morning, where each of us voluntarily can deny ourselves for the sake of others. And in essence, die to ourselves, where Paul said, I die daily. Okay, now, any of us parents knows that when you have a new child coming to the family, the child obviously at the beginning is, you know, just, you know, and then you're making all the faces at it, and the kid in his mind said, boy, that you look stupid when you're doing that, if we could read their minds. But eventually they begin to start responding, and of course their life is all about them. Any of us know that as parents. And so as a parent, we want to begin to make a transition. It's going to be very slow, that the child eventually transitions from, it's not all about me, there's something outside of me, and so I need to learn to think of others. Okay, and of course, in this generation is a me-oriented generation, and this generation is just flat nuts coming up. Give me, give me, give me. Crazy Bernie. Crazy Bernie is pushing Hillary farther to the left. Okay, and it's all about me. That's the mindset. Okay, and that's where America is going down the tubes. And so the idea is we got an innocent baby, and we got a clean slate. So eventually, we want to eventually train that child to begin to think of others, and of course, we want them to think of their dad. Okay, so Mother's Day, we had a tradition in our house for Mother's Day where, man, I always liked Mother's Day because I got a good meal out of it, and they did it last year, and it's really nice where they honor their mother. Okay, and that's a great thing, wonderful thing. Okay, and when does that start? When that child begins to walk and begins to take toys out of their little area, that child can be taught to put them back, and they begin to, at that young age, right off the bat, begin to realize, hey, I got to clean up after myself. Now, if you can get in the change of dirty diapers, that would be nice. Okay, but that's kind of tough. Okay, and so the idea is you hopefully teach them to start to serve others, and that is not something that's usually taught. That's something that's caught by example. Okay, and so this is a voluntary aspect. Okay, so the idea of giving up of your life or denying yourself. Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts about that, some illustrations go along with it. And the first one is to deny yourself or the death of yourself is never 100% of the time. Okay, I'm not saying you got to go and be some monk someplace. You know, take a whip and, and then pretend that you're suffering for Jesus. You know, and then a guy takes a vow of poverty or a vow of silence. You know, he's been silent for 2-3 years, and you whap him on the finger, and all of a sudden, all the words come out. He lost his promise. Okay, I met one of these brothers on the airplane from Los Angeles to Australia, and he had the whole outfit. Man, he was a fryer or a baker. He was a fryer, so he's Southern. Probably be a Southern guy. No, he's from Boston. He should have been a baker. But he was a fryer. And he sat right next to me, and I thought, this is going to be fun. This is really going to be entertaining. And we had about a 3-hour conversation and a 14-hour flight. And he tried everything he could to try to stump me, and he couldn't think of a Bible passage, so I'd flip to it. And I said, is this the one you're looking for? Yeah, that's it. And you think he's a big dog. He was a big dog. He was over all the monasteries in Australia. I mean, I thought, I got me a big dog here. And so I made a mistake asking, how many monasteries are there? He said, well, 2. He went down to a Chihuahua. And I said, how many monks you got in them things? He said, 5. Oh man, he is one of them little dogs that pretend to be, look like a, it's a cat that looks like a dog. It's one of those you can put the collar on him and lead him by his neck, you know. Come on, heel. There, good dog, you know, and all that stuff. As you can tell, I like little dogs. So, but still the idea is, that's not denying yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, denying yourself or death to yourself is never 100% of the time. It is never 100% of the time because we got a body we got to take care of. Okay, even folks in a full-time ministry, their denial of self hopefully is a higher percentage, but it is never 100% of the time. Okay, any dad's got to take care of his family. And if he doesn't provide for his own household, in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, says that he is worse than infidel. That's where God places him. Well, you don't hear any preaching about that. Okay, now it is proper to provide and pay for the carnal needs of the servants of Christ. That is proper, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But if the person is wise, that doesn't mean that you're going to live high and hog, low and chicken. No, chicken is a requirement for being called to preach. Down south, fried. Health-minded, more grilled. Okay, but still the idea of, the most important ministry of anybody, especially dad, is your family. That's it. Years ago, I made a promise to God, I'm going to let the whole world go to hell, but not my family. And so that's the most important thing. Noah got his family on that boat, and that was it. Brother Mike Dobbins, if you would go to Proverbs chapter 17, Brother Mike Dobbins came off the field because his two sons were enrolling in Bible school. He didn't quite think they were ready, so he came off the field. I admire that. A lot of people don't, but I personally admire that because family is important. Proverbs 17 verse 1 says, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. That's a proverb you got to really meditate and think on. House full of sacrifices, Old Testament doctrine. So a house full of sacrifice, this guy is a religious guy. He goes down to the temple all the time showing how religious he is. He does all these sacrifices and he comes home and he yells and screams at his wife and kids. And the Bible says it's better for him to shut his mouth and not be so religious, put all that stuff aside, and have a quiet house. That's what, you know, he's implying here. Okay, and so the thing is our primary ministry is our family. And boy, that is the most important ministry. That's a ministry of service outside of our personal walk with God. Now, on this idea of denying self or the death to the self, every one of us have basic needs, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. So I'm not saying that a person is 100% denial of self. You know, you go out, we'll work for food, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because I'm a poor minister of Christ. There's one lady down in Rensselaer, I was knocking on some doors and came across this elderly lady. And it's just funny. She came to the door and I said, I'm so-and-so from this church. She said, well, if you do a better job on Sunday, you might not have to be out here on Tuesday. I said, thank you very much. I got that one. I don't know if she listened to me on the radio or something. I laughed. I thought it was funny. And obviously she didn't come to church. And so that's a good one. But the Lord Jesus himself, he slept, he ate, he rested, he walked place to place. Elijah himself, after a great spiritual victory, when he got all discouraged, God said, hey, you need to come apart. You need to rest. You need to sleep some while. You need to eat some proper food, you know, all that stuff. And so there is a physical aspect, obviously, for life. So when I say denial of self, I am not saying you're supposed to empty your bank account. I'm not saying that. Okay? If you want to, you know, my name is, and, you know, whatever, okay? But I'm not saying that, and God doesn't expect that of us, especially the dads. You got to plan for your family, okay? And hopefully you've set aside some thing for your own family and things like that. So denial of self, so don't get all nervous, and then I say, well, he's denying yourself and denial of self, that means he's going to expect me. No, I'm not expecting anything. I'm just saying that none of us are capable of doing 100%. None of us are capable of that. And God doesn't expect that of us. If he did, he would make the tithe 100%, right? And he doesn't say that. Okay, so the second thought is this. Denial of self, what does that mean? Okay, taking up the cross was probably more last week, where, as from the person's perspective, a tragic thing happened to this individual. From God's perspective, that was a cross he had that person to bear. Okay, the denial of itself is a voluntary thing. It's that individual delaying or eliminating, maybe that would be take place, some personal desires for myself for the needs of others. Okay, we had 8 folks yesterday who denied their pleasures of Saturday, probably starting about 8 o'clock, depending on when they drove down to Rensselaer, so they missed out on, I don't think they have Bugs Bunny on Saturday morning anymore. But they denied themselves of some work on Saturday. Maybe they had some things done from 8 o'clock on Saturday until I think I saw them at Rensselaer about 4 o'clock. So they denied themselves about 8 hours of their life to go down to Logansport and minister in a little prison. Okay, it's young men. I think it's all men. It's all young men, teenage boys. And then when I saw them before, man, they were excited. That's the side benefits, is the excitement. Okay, but they first denied themselves. They could have been doing something else. Okay, they could have been working on their car, maybe, or, you know, watching Golden State win again. I don't know, they could have been doing that. Watching the Cardinals win. Amazingly, in this age, watching the Cubs win. Amazing. And so it might be the year for them. Who knows? But that's a denial. Okay, now let's get a little scriptural authority on this. Scriptural authority, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7. This is the Apostle Paul. Oh, good. She walked out. Now, if you want to see somebody that denies themselves and truly lives for others, there's a lady that just walked out that door. And, the time that she gives people, not just spiritual, but physical, is a marvelous thing to watch. Sometimes I got to kind of pull her back. I thought it was kind of funny. Don't tell her I said this. That she mentioned to them this morning that we have a mission fund that helps provide some health things for missionaries. The mission fund is her. You know, I'll put in the postage, but some of the little stuff that she gives, like to Joel Hauser, Superfood, send him 3 packs, you know, other things. Okay, that's a denial of self. Okay, and so that's an act that lives forever. You're going to see that at the judgment seat. But here's an example of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul said, but we were gentle among you. Boy, put that gentle in a Bible believer vocabulary. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, not just the gospel, not just Bible teaching, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. That's a denial of self for the betterment of others. Okay, another example, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans 12, verse 10. Okay, this one says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. Okay, that would be my preference that I can yield to another. Instead of him vying for his position and her vying for her position, how about him trying to think of her and her trying to think of him? Back and forth. Okay, in honor preferring one another. For, Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You see, did he mean that? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in marriage we are to please the other. Please the other, back and forth. If he would spend time trying to please her and she would take time to try to please him without strings attached. Okay, a lot of times gifts given. When somebody gives you a gift, you know, people are, you know, very suspicious because that's just not human nature. But sometimes when a gift is given, you got to hold the gift up and look for anything strings attached in the bottom. Just take a scissors and clip them all off and then make sure that's a gift. And if it's a gift that I could just throw away, okay, if you want to do that, that's fine. It's a gift. It's a gift to, given to use the way. Well, I thought they was going to, hey, that doesn't matter. Maybe they didn't like the gift. My birthday presents to my wife are very easy. $300-$400 in an envelope. Same envelope every year. I put it back in the closet. Is that right, dear? She got tired of me getting her something she didn't like, so she'd take it back. So we got a nice game, and we've been doing this for like 15. I get the same birthday card. It's the same card. It's been going on for years. It's in the closet right where it says, love you, dear, from honey, you know, but it's the green stuff inside. That's you know, and the number, you know, goes up a little bit. You know, not much, but just a little bit. Commission is my way. Okay, but still, the idea is to please another. My chainsaw is not a good gift for her birthday. You know, if I'm going to build a log house again, I don't know. Okay, but, and she don't like, houseware stuff. You know, to buy a wife for her birthday some dish pans, I mean, that's not working. Okay, and so the idea is to please her. Okay, another one, John chapter 12, verse 23. You know, maybe you can sneak out to the cemetery and find some fresh flowers, you know. Got to be kind of nifty on that. I've seen quarters out there. I've been tempted to take a couple quarters, but I didn't. I mean, that person's not going to use it. It's like the guy that had three sons that they had to put $10,000 in his casket. And, first guy, the doctor, put $10,000 cash in the casket. And the second guy, a businessman, very wealthy businessman, put $10,000 in the casket. And the lawyer came along, wrote out a check for $30,000, took the $20,000 out back. I mean, that's the idea. Okay, but John chapter 12. This is a natural principle of life, that the Lord often takes something in the world as a natural example to teach a spiritual lesson. John 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Okay, corn in the Bible is not corn as we think. It's grain. But let the Bible stand as it is. A corn of wheat, we'd say kernel of wheat, fall into the ground and die. It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So I saw some guys already planted some corn. So right about now, this is probably, I don't know, it's a little bit early up here yet, but not nice weather, so they're going to bank on it. I hope they don't get a frost come May. But the idea is that seed's placed about an inch down, starts taking on some moisture. The seed will swell a little bit because it's taking on moisture. And then a shoot will come out north, magnetic north, and then eventually a stalk and eventually ear and so forth, so on, if everything works, according to nature. Where God set up. But that seed had to die to itself. Okay, I remember years ago, we got a farm along 65 at that time, and some bunch of gophers or chipmunks had burrowed in under 65, and man, they got an acre or two of our corn. That corn would get about that tall, and them little boogers would go from dig down to eat that moist corn kernel and go to the next one, eat that moist one. Man, dirty things. And, of course, when I'd be out there driving a tractor, I'd see one. I'd get off and be running this way, dodging this way, taking a dirt clod, trying to kill it, stomp on it. Eventually, I'd get it. and I wouldn't let it loose someplace else. It was dead when I got done. Okay, but that seed, when it takes on moisture, if it gets cold, very cold, that seed will rot and die. Okay, it's done. Can't do anything about it. Okay, and so it's a very critical time. So God is using an example that if we die to ourselves in any given situation, put aside our desires, put aside our wishes, okay, then we can give life to others. A man who lives for himself lives for one, but when you live for others, you can live for as many as cross your path. Okay, that's the idea. If you would look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. I would not suggest putting this verse in a plaque and sending it to the local politician, because they would have a different viewpoint on this one. 1 Corinthians 10, 24. Maybe you could put Exodus 18, where it's 22, or 22:18, where it says, "Suffer not to let a witch live." Put that on a nice plaque, send it to Hillary. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, it says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." Now you can see how a politician would see that one. But the idea in that passage, if that means what that says, now we can run to Greek and change it, that'd make it more convenient. Okay, but that's thinking of others. What's the best for them? Okay, thinking of what's the best for my kids or my wife or whatever. Okay, in the family structure, there's a truth the Bible does teach on. It's called submission. It's a chain of authority. I know men usually, you know, like to get that verse. They forget the other one. But it's a chain of authority. If you have that, if everybody submits to that chain of authority, you have peace with each other in a home. But there's a step up. If everybody in the home learns to serve another, who's that on the ground? Well, I don't know. Pick it up. I didn't throw it on the ground. Well, pick it up. Why didn't you do it? Okay, just be a servant. How about being a servant? Pick up after yourself. Okay, maybe the husband can do some things for her. Now, I know the arthritis is very bad washing dishes. I had a problem with arthritis with that and changing dirty diapers. My arthritis really flared up. But I remember one time, and my wife told me, when you're watching your own kids, it's not babysitting. One time, I was not babysitting, but one had one of them leaky diapers. That's when a bathtub came in play. Just rip it off, turn on the faucet, just put the bottom up there, all down. That's the best way I learned how to do it. Outside, it was too cold. When the poor kids were and you're trying to clean them off, that's not a real good idea. Okay, but still, to learn to serve. Jesus said, Mark chapter 10, 45, the Son of Man is come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's what our Savior did, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this truth is so prevalent in the Bible that God has an entire judgment based upon this. It's called the Judgment of the Nations. You'll see it in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. It occurs after the tribulation, and it's basically somebody stepping outside of themselves, outside of their selfish desires, or outside of taking care of ourselves, putting that on hold, to reach out and help somebody else. And he said to those people, "Whoever does this to the least of these, my brethren, have done it unto me." When sister is nice to brother, and brother is nice to sister, the Lord interprets that behavior towards him. Okay, and so, you know, they don't act like Jesus. Yeah, I understand that. Maybe it's the other Jesus in 2 Corinthians, but sometimes people say, "Well, my kids are angels." Sometimes I think they're fallen angels, but just got to be honest about these things. And so, but the idea is the Lord looks at this as you're doing that for me. Remember what he said to the Apostle Paul before he saved Saul? "You're persecuting me." Even though he was killing Christians, he was killing Jesus again. Now, this is so prevalent in the Bible. If you would look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, we do live in a day and age where people are professional liars. So don't try to appease your conscience. You see a guy or a woman on the side of the street, you know, with a sign, you know, not, you know, begging for money. I don't suggest to help them out. You help out people you know. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor. Why is that person poor? Is it laziness? If it's laziness, the Bible thing is to look at him and say, hey, go get a job. I'll help you out. Go get a job. Okay? That's the Bible thing. Okay? If somebody is legitimately, I got a tough time, I wouldn't do it nationally. I would not give to the people on television, the United Way and all that kind of garbage. I wouldn't do that because it don't get to where it's supposed to be. If it's an individual you know personally, I like to do it secretly. Just do it secretly to them. Okay? And it's always kind of fun to surprise, especially when they don't know who did it. And they come to you and say, whoa, look at this, what I got. Whoa, that's great. Yeah. You know anything about that? Don't know a thing about that. Okay? And that's a blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says this, as is written. So we got 2 Corinthians 9 verse 9, as is written. That's an Old Testament statement. So this is a universal truth. He that he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Okay, we got missionaries on that wall over there. You know, I'm not a very good advertiser. I never have been. Never been good at announcements. Always forget them all. Okay, never been good at announcing things. Try to get people involved. Never been a slave driver. Never been able to do that. It's not in my nature. Okay, but we got missionaries in the wall, and you might be able to find an email address. Why don't you send them an email and ask them maybe something that you can do for them? You don't have to broadcast and put a big sign, I helped a missionary today. No, you just lost your reward. It's all done privately, secretly. Buy a Bible and send it to somebody. You know, give it to somebody. If somebody's not having food on the table, give them, go over there and put a grocery bag in front of their house. Do it at nighttime so they can't see you. Do things like that. And when you do things like that, there's a God in heaven that says, hey, I like that. They give that to me. That act is an act that you get to see again someday. I'm not talking about big fanfare. I'm not talking about a big ministry. A lot of times big ministries are nothing more than big corporations. I'm just talking as individuals. Doing something that helps somebody else out. Step outside of our comfort zone. Okay? And what you'll discover is that after you do that act, the blessed God in heaven will give you a peace in your heart and such a joy. And you say, man, I need to do this more often. It's a lot of fun. Now, the Lord will not, maybe he will, but he's not going to say empty your bank account for somebody. Okay, but he does. All he's looking for is a morsel here, one here. Put a track here, give somebody a track there. Say something. You say, well, I'm quiet. Nobody's more quiet than I am. If you doubt that, talk to me tonight when I'm done talking. My dad says you can't get a word out of him. I had an uncle that was a hermit. I wouldn't mind doing that. I would be very comfortable in that. But you got to step outside of ourselves. Why God called me to preach, I have no idea. But I do know that, boy, what a joy it is that people see the truths of God. And the joy that God gives when we step outside of ourselves. I'm not saying you got to stand on a street corner like us and be a little goofy. Or some people, that's goofy. Well, you want to see some goofy as cheerleaders standing over there trying to get somebody to wash their car or something like that. That's goofy. Okay, holding a Bible verse sign for Jesus Christ, as I was holding it one time, this girl's going by on a cell phone, and she said, man, I just walked by some nut. And I said, at least I'm screwed to the right bolt. I mean, people do all sorts of nutty things. But what we do for Jesus Christ comes back. So glory to God. And so this is a voluntary thing. The involuntary thing, the Lord basically says, hey, there's that cross. I know you don't like it. I know you shun that thing. But he said, just take it up. And you, at first, you just sit there and stare at that thing. And you'll cry. And you say, I don't want that thing. And then eventually the Lord give you grace and you might touch it. And you might, okay. And then the Lord might say, it's done. Okay, you learned your lesson, you're done. But here's another cross. Oh, man, I didn't expect that neither. That's the involuntary aspect. We're told to accept it. The voluntary aspect is we put aside some desires, possibly, or delay them just for the sake of another. No strings attached, just because we want to please the Lord for the needs of others. And the God, there's a God in heaven that keeps track of all those things. That's the amazing. In Hebrews it says, He will not forget your labor of love. He won't forget it. We will. The person that you give the labor of love to probably will. And might even turn around and kick you in the rump because of it. Down the road. But if you've given to the Lord still keeps that, He still keeps that mark down. Even though they're giving you the number 9, afterwards, there's a God in heaven that says, hey, you did it for me. You're getting it. And that number 9, hey, I'm going to give you some more because of that. And that's a beautiful thing about our God in heaven. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to recognize that we do have personal needs. Each and every one of us do. Yes, work and things like that. But yet, Lord, there are times you want us to possibly set aside a little time, get outside of our comfort zone so that we might be a blessing to another. We might meet the needs of another. And the glorious God in heaven's got them angels writing down these things. And it's a blessing to you, Lord. Your salvation is such a blessing. Thank you for dying to yourself, providing eternal life to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to die to ourselves so we might live for others. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. The piano will play. The altar's open if you need it. This is really not something that you can express verbally to somebody. It's something that they watch. It's like the saying that I'd rather see a sermon preached than hear one any day. And so it's a person doing what you can to be a blessing to others. In return, we're blessings to God. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. And Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to be faithful to your words. And I pray that, Lord, you'd guide in each. Maybe something that we could pray that there might be somebody you bring our path this week we can witness to. Or somebody that we can see a need and try to meet that need. Be it emotionally, be it physically, be it spiritually. Lord, I just pray that you'd help each of us to be on alert for these things so we might be a blessing to that individual and especially to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.